Well, it's about time for us to begin. I think it's amazing, the providential care of God, or Zeke got a message from God saying, hey, Zane needs to hear about Psalm 30. I don't know, you know, just really think that he made a very good contrast that I needed. You know, life gets hard, you get discouraged, and then you remember that God gives us second and third chances. He gives a Christian family that loves us. And we should be thankful for that. And I just want to say I'm very thankful for being able to teach this class. There's a lot of ways it's the highlight of my week. It helps me think of more than getting down on myself, but talking with you. I love that you contribute to the class, that you trust me with making comments, and we have a conversation about God, and it really is a very important part of my life. And as nervous as I get coming up here to do it, I still really enjoy it, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. So we're in the parables of Jesus, and a parable is a story. And the parables of Jesus are a story that has spiritual application. So it's comparison, right? To lay beside. And so we're taking something physical and making a spiritual application about it. We're in Matthew 13:33 today. Last week we talked about the mustard seed and that parable and the growth of the kingdom. And today we're going to be talking about leaven. All right, so hopefully we have some bread bakers in the audience today. So how do you bake bread that uses yeast? Leaven and yeast are the same thing. Right, so you take, in modern society, you take the yeast packet, you put it in water, you dissolve it, then you put it in the bread, and then the yeast digests the sugars, makes CO2, and so that causes the bread to rise and everything else. But
you do your part and the leaven will do its part.
Right. Yes. You're right. You do your part and the leaven causes rise. And Jessica's right. There's the temperature range and all of that. You can actually kill the yeast because it's a living thing. Now, but in this time, you didn't go down to HEB and get a packet of yeast. What did they use? You ever done sourdough bread? But yeah, you take a starter, right, which is a piece of dough that already has the yeast in it, and then you would take that and use that to bring in the yeast. And so that would cause, the bread to rise. So, Lowell, would you read Matthew 13:33? Alright, so in this case we have a woman taking and playing peekaboo with some leaven. She hid it in the flour. Now, what does that mean? Yeah, you mix it up. So she took the starter, put it in the flour, and unfortunately I got ahead of myself. I want to talk a little bit more about leaven. So that is the parable. How is leaven used in the scripture? Can you think of other instances where leaven is used? Right, it's usually a negative thing. Right, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and I've got that somewhere. 1 Corinthians 5, see, that's reason. He sits right there, he can. So if I can't find it in my notes, he's got that. So 1 Corinthians 5. And 6 through 8, I think, is what we were talking about. Mr. Keene, would you read 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8? Wow. There are some scriptures that you read, and, you know, you look at all of the different allusions and parts of the scripture that comes together. There's a lot that's in here, right, that Paul is taking and talking about. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5, what is this? What's the context of 1 Corinthians 5? Right, the sexual immoral person, and how they need to be removed from them. So that sexually immoral person is compared to what in this verses we read?
Leaven.
Right. And so this leaven, this rising agent, this yeast, is doing what? Or what is the concern that the whole little bit of leaven leavens? Alright. It spreads, right? So there's concern that if we do not deal with sin as a Christian family, then what can happen? It can spread, right? And so when we look at, thankfully we have elders here, but that's one of their concerns, right? That if we don't take care of sin, that it can spread and become a problem and damage the entire congregation. Is sin damaging? Is there any sin that's not damaging? Is there any sin that even if it's secret, doesn't damage? No. And so that's the thought here is this leaven is the sin. And then in verse 7, what are they told to do? Remove it. Cleanse out this old leaven. And then it talks about being unleavened. What feast or what... well, let's go back to the beginning. When did we learn about... or when was it first talked about having unleavened bread? And when were they told to make unleavened bread? At least the first time I remember. Yeah, when they come out of Egypt, Passover, right? And they were told to do unleavened. What was the justification on the Passover?
They didn't have time for it to rise.
And so we're going to do unleavened bread. You're going to eat the Passover lamb that's going to be grilled, however you would say it. I'm losing the word right now. And you're going to eat it with your staff in your hand and your shoes on your feet because you're getting out of Egypt, right? And then every year they would remember the Passover feast, and what would they have to do in preparation for that? They would take all the leaven out of the house. And so that is where we come here. Now, Jesus is called in this, this verse, the Passover lamb, right? So the lamb, the blood of the lamb was put on the door post and the lintel, and so that was showing that they would be passed over by the angel of death, and the firstborn did not die. But Jesus is our Passover lamb, and how is he similar to that? Right, for our sins, so that the angel of death, or death, would pass over us in the fact of a spiritual life. So then, in verse 8, it culminates, we're going to take out the leaven of malice and evil, but be unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Alright? Any comments on the leaven, little leaven lump? Yes, Jessica. Oh, no, the Passover, yeah, it's very interesting when we look at it that way. Yes, please. Right. Yeah, it is an interesting hidden thing. You think, oh, well, we're taking a little bit of this substance and putting in the bread, and all of a sudden it changes the entire makeup of everything. Yes.
I'm going to jump on a previous observation. The leaven that they used, fermented dough, looked just like the rest of the dough.
Right.
So it would be easy to mix in mm-hmm. with it. I was thinking of another place in Galatians 5 where Paul is talking about doctrine. Mm-hmm. And he talks about leaven there. In fact, he said the same thing in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven. Leaven the whole lump of dough, and he's speaking in the context of false doctrine.
Right.
And, you know, it's not just sin that's bad, it's also what you believe that could be wrong also. That's why it's so important for us to, and why I know that the elders here take especially that responsibility to make sure that what's taught and what's preached is true.
Probably the, in agreement with what Zeke just said, in agreement with that is that that's one of the very hard things that elders have to do. And one of the qualifications of elders in Titus is to be able to convict the gainsayer. We come, hopefully, and we worship, and we listen to what Zeke says, we listen to what the teachers say, and we go, oh, that was good, or, huh, I need to ask some questions about that. But the elders are the gatekeepers. There are shepherds, and shepherds are guardians, and they have to be listening to that. And in a way that we have to, but in much more, they have to guard against teaching that's wrong. And not that, you know, I don't trust Zeke completely. He would never intentionally do that, but sometimes your worms get mixed up, right? And you could say something wrong. And the elders are here to help with that and to say, hey, let's talk about that more. Or they're misspoken and said this. And, you know, is my daughter's favorite thing when I was teaching on marriage and divorce one time. I meant to say divorce is bad. And I said marriage is bad. And everybody looks at me. And my wife's going, I'm like, I don't know what I just said, but let me rephrase this. And because you get nervous and things. And so we've got to be careful. But that is a very important job of an elder. Elders are more than just nice guys who show up and say nice things. They are guardians of the truth, and they protect against that leaven, that wrongness infiltrating. And, you know, I'm comforted by the fact that I'm up here talking, but we have four elders, and if I say something, I get mixed up again. They go, Zane, would you rephrase that? Or what about this? Because that's their job, and we should be very thankful for them doing that. Very important. So going back to what Jessica said is just being ready to obey. Have you ever told your children, just do what I said? I don't want to hear the reasons why you don't think it's great. Just do what I said. It usually comes after your teenager explains to you how in the grand cosmic scheme of the world that you're wrong, but it's just do what I said. The answer, the only answer is yes, sir. The only answer is yes, ma'am. The only answer is just do it. And we, maybe only me, but maybe we get too smart sometimes. And we want to think about what God's saying, and we have reasons and excuses, but the answer needs to be, yes, sir. I'm going to do it. And doesn't life get simpler when we just obey? We try to explain that to our children. But there is something about that just be ready to obey. All right. So what other instances is leaven used in Scripture? Let's go to Mark 16. It can't be Mark 16. It's got to be Matthew 16. Sorry about that. 5 through 12. John, would you read that? Matthew 16, 5 through 12. Thank you. This is one of those times when you're just like, really, guys? You know, we do feel sometimes superior to the apostles. Really? You missed this? But, so Jesus' admonition in verse 6 to the apostles was what? God, beware of this leaven. And so, what did they think? What were they concerned about? Bread. Do you ever feel like that could sometimes be us? We just completely miss the point of things. I hope you have experienced that. There are just some embarrassing things comments I made in Bible class or something, and I go, did I really say that out loud? You know, but we grow. We should go through these things. But when it comes to physical bread, was Jesus in command of food? Yes, right? But what was the leaven that he was warning them about? Right, the teaching, the false teaching. And, you know, you can read Matthew 23, all the woes to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And we have to be careful of that. And again, leaven permeates everything. I was in a Bible class many, many years ago, and this kid was like, this religious group that teaches this, this, and this, you know, but they were doing this, this, and this, and it was quite a diatribe. It wasn't a comment. The kid had a point to make, and one of the older men in the Bible class said, it's very, very unlikely that people can be taught the wrong thing and do the right thing. And I was, one of those times that you go, wow. I'm so glad there were older men in the congregation, because I was young and I was going to just, go through point by point how the kid was just wrong. And I was like, wow, isn't that a profound thing? If we are taught the wrong thing, can we do the right thing? No. Theoretically, maybe, but if we're learning the wrong things, we can't do the right thing. If we're being taught the wrong things, we can't do the right thing. If we're not looking at God's Word, we're not going to do what God's Word contains. That's just the reality of it. And what Jesus is warning of them is, make sure the teaching you put in your brain, the teaching you follow, is teaching that comes from God. Beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because that's not what leads to the kingdom of heaven. We need to be careful of what we put in our brains. Have you ever had to change the picture in your head? Yeah. Yes. No, we do what we've been taught, what we've seen, and that's a very real example. I wish it didn't exist in the world, but when people have been abused, that's the way they think the world works. And they seek out that sometimes, and so you've got to make a change. Your marriage will look exactly like your parents' marriage, for good or bad, unless you make a conscious decision to change some of the things. I mean, and that was kind of shocking to me. Yes. Yes. No, that's a very good point. We have to watch that we're not by habit or unconsciously doing things, and that's the reason it's so important to be blessed with a Christian family that goes, hey Zane, I don't know if you know you're doing this, but think about this, or have you considered this? And there have been several parts in my life where Christians have come up to me and go, hey, have you considered? They did it out of love. Wasn't pleasant, but we need to have that to help us do that. So, in these examples, leaven is not a very positive thing. But does that mean that all leaven, can you use it as a positive example? Right. Okay, we're done. What she said. No. The reason I went through all these things is because, I don't remember, how many words is it, Zeke? Didn't know. 24 words or something, and people find a meaning for each one, and then they use this to prove that the leaven's bad, is it good, and it's an argument. So this, unfortunately, sometimes we have to unteach or to have an answer for things that are wrong, and that's the reason we've covered this, but it all boils down to what Michelle said. In this case, if you look in the context of Matthew chapter 13, what is the main point of Matthew 13? What is Jesus teaching about? The kingdom, right? And so the context matters. Why does context matter? Yeah, there's several meanings for the same word, right? And so we need to look at how it flows, how the ideas flow, and so we need to look at what's around it. And when we look at this, kingdom of heaven is like leaven. So what is Jesus making the comparison to? It says it explicitly. The kingdom of heaven. So when we read leaven here, it doesn't matter how many negative examples have been used. When we read it here, Jesus makes this comparison. And the woman takes this leaven, which is starter dough in this world. She hides it in or mixes it in with 3 measures of flour. And then what is the net result? All is leaven. So, again, as Michelle said, the kingdom of heaven does what? Does it increase or decrease? It grows, right? And we can see that in this. We see it in the parable of the mustard seed, and we understand that it grows in time and everything else. So, there are a few verses I'd like to read. Mike Vachik, would you read Romans 10, 17 and 18? Okay. So where does faith come from? Hearing God's Word. So can you have faith without God's Word? Not the right kind. Well, faith's faith, right? Why not? No, that's very good. We need to have faith that's based in the reality of God. There's a song that an artist, you know, sings, and it's talking about Jesus. They don't have much room for you in their theology. They want you to be small. But Jesus isn't small, right? You know, people, well, Jesus is love. Well, yes. Jesus is also just. Jesus also taught about heaven. He taught about hell. He wanted us to be brought out of sin, not going, you're just perfect where you're at. Right? Jesus, and he doesn't just fit in our pocket. We take him out when it's convenient. God is huge. And so we want to have faith that comes from the reality of God, that we comes from God's Word. Otherwise, we have a faith that's misplaced, right? Some people have faith that God just wants us to be happy where we're at. But you don't find that in Scripture. So we need to be careful that we are teaching. Now, if we want the leaven, the kingdom of heaven, to go everywhere, what does this say we're going to have to do? Implies that we'll have to do. Open our mouth and speak. What did you say? Go everywhere. But, and everywhere we go, carry the Word of God with us. Is that easy to do? It's hard. Like Gabrielle said, you know, it's unconscious. When Quentin was born, you know, I obviously want to be the perfect parent, failed miserably, but God gives second chances, and Quentin still loves us, right? But one of the things I thought of was that we should teach him about God. And that should be part of all the conversations. When I was growing up, it wasn't part of the conversation. I mean, we had some conversations, but they were not very often, right? And how do I integrate it into all of my speaking? We talk to a lot of older people, and then, honestly, Tracy's better at it than I am even today, but I try to be better at it. How do you incorporate that? How do you always have God in mind when you're talking to them, obviously about nature, but about life, and that should you do this or that? Well, which honors God? It's a different way of speaking, and when you do that, it changes the way things are going. One time I was talking to a man about, and he was saying, well, I'm just going to different congregations or religious groups to find where I'm comfortable. And my brain was going, what? And one guy goes, yeah, and it was perfect. He said, well, are you looking for a place where God's comfortable? And I was like, wow, I'm stealing it. Because that was the perfect response. It's out of self into something more. And so we need to learn how to incorporate all of this in our discussions. So, we're going to have to carry the Word of God with us. We're going to have to stay on the course, right? One of the things, this should give us comfort, this parable. And why should it give us comfort? Does it comfort you, I should ask? It takes a little bit. You know, and when you take the leaven and you put it in there, does the leaven always work? Yeah. The Word of God works. And now, people can choose or not. Oh, people are going, well, if you kill your starter, it doesn't. But, the Word of God works. And, you know, people complain about congregations all the time, and they're like, there are people, they aren't perfect. And it's like, God has a perfect plan, which involves imperfect people to realize His perfect conclusion. Right? Does God know we're imperfect? Does God know we fail? But does God still give us the charge of taking the gospel to the world? Why did He do that? Well, He gave us the powerful agent of the kingdom of God, the Word of God. But if you want to be a good salesman, you have to first make a connection with people. And you know what? We're imperfect people taking the perfect message to imperfect people. So you know what? That makes us perfect for doing this. Because it's not one of those things, let me tell you how you need to be. It's like, hey, this is amazing. I have forgiveness. You can have forgiveness. We can be in a right relationship with God. Here, let's go do it together. And that's beautiful.
Somebody said it was like beggars telling other beggars where to get bread.
Yes. Beggars telling other beggars where to get bread. It's beautiful. And we will be successful. And we're successful not when they obey the gospel. We're successful when? When we share. When we're lights, when we're salt, that's when we're successful. When I was a young Christian, one man told me about, in the back of his Bible, when someone obeys the gospel, he thought he writes it down with the date. And it encourages him because he goes back and... So I did that. And then a few years later, I thought, well, you know, that's really bad. I should be when we talk to people about God. That's when success happens. David, standing against Goliath, didn't win when Goliath died. He won when he said, you will not defy the Lord. You will not do that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won not when they got out of the fiery furnace unsinged. They won when they said, whether God will or will not save us, we will not bow down to your idol. That's when they won. They could have died in the fiery furnace and they would still win. And that's what we have to do. Is it's that point where we say no. Yes, I'm imperfect. Yes, I've failed at this so many times. But this time I'm not giving up. Because the leaven works. The mustard seed grows. And so when we think of this, I will have to say that I have a, when I read this, I don't really think of it in the kingdom of heaven, and I think that's the appropriate way to do it. I think it about in myself. And I think this can be appropriate. If I have the kingdom of God in me, it doesn't exist only in part of me. It has to exist throughout me and my life, right? Or it's not going there. Yes, Jessica. Yes. Very good. And, you know, we look also at John 15. It is the standard. You know, it convicts. It either saves or convicts. In other words, it saves when people, you know, are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. It convicts when someone says, no, I'm not interested. It, the Word of God always accomplishes what it was intended to do. And so, when we look at this very simple parable about leaven, are we using this to make the world a better place? You know, people go, well, I'm an engineer to be, make the world a better place. I'm a teacher. I'm a doctor. I'm this. I do this. I build this. Those are all honorable things, I guess. But are we making the world a better place by being peacemakers between people and their God? By giving them the Word of God. By giving them the Word of God like beggars telling beggars where to get bread. That is a very beautiful way of looking at it. And we can do this. And we will be successful. And I think sometimes the more we stutter, stammer, and get embarrassed and do it, I think that gives us sincerity, right? Because everybody's a little leery of the slick, smooth-talking salesman, right? And sometimes a little stuttering and stammering shows that we care, that we want to do it right, and that we're coming to it with all we've got. And so, we're supposed to be light in this dark world, and we're going to be salt. And we can make this world a better place, because we have the one thing that all the world needs, and that is the Word of God. So let's think about these things, and I don't know about you, but I go, you know what? I've got to do better. But let's do better together. Next week we will talk about the hidden treasure in Matthew 13:44. And I really appreciate again all of your comments and look forward to next week.